many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and this time to come together and seek you, open your word, and an opportunity, Lord, for you to minister to us. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move here, would have its way, would encourage us and draw us close to you. We do, like we sang, we want to know you more. We want to develop our relationship with you. And we know that our faith comes by hearing and reading your word, and the only way to develop a relationship with you is through your word. And we ask that you would bless tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we walk through chapter 37, I want to finish up what I didn't get to last week. If you turn in your Bibles to chapter 35, beginning in verse 23, there's a summary of all the sons of Jacob. Now, the sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob, who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Then Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had dwelt. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being full of age, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now if you do the calculation, Isaac didn't die as soon as Jacob moved to Hebron. They actually got several years to spend with one another. So here, Jacob, or Israel, obeying God all the way to everything that God said, as God had told him, go to the land of your fathers. So here he goes to Hebron, to the land that Abraham and Isaac had dwelt, truly the land of his fathers, in obedience. Notice, you remember originally Jacob was reluctant. He was afraid of Esau. He didn't know how it would all work out, so he pitched his tent in Shechem. But notice what happened. Look at verse 6 and 7. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, in chapter 36, verses 6 and 7. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all his persons of his household, his cattle and all his animals, and all his goods which he had gained in the land of Canaan, and went to a country away from the presence of his brother Jacob. For their possessions were too great for them to dwell together, and the land where they were strangers could not support them because of their livestock. So Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. So when he finally did obey, he finally went there. Everything worked out. He wasn't in danger. And in fact, Esau, of his own accord, moved away. And many times, the thing that we fear, really, once we give in, doesn't really have any merit for fear, because God will take care of it. It works itself out, oftentimes, as it did with Israel when he moved to the land of his fathers. But tonight we're going to look at chapter 37, and notice what it says in the beginning of verse 2. This is the history of Jacob. I think this is really concluding the history of Jacob. Now, Jacob doesn't die here, but the Bible shifts its focus. Prior to this verse, Jacob, Israel, is the main character of the story. But now the Bible shifts its focus and goes to the final section of the book of Genesis, where Joseph is the main character. So we're going to focus now on Joseph. The book of Genesis divided into 8 sections: creation in the beginning, the fall, man disobeying God. The flood, the record of Noah in the flood. The beginning of nations, as the people multiply and begin to start people groups, God separates them at the Tower of Babel and nations begin. Then the book of Genesis centers on the person of Abraham, and we went through that. Abraham, the life of Abraham. Then it focuses on his son, Isaac. And we went through the person of Isaac. Then it focuses on Isaac's son, Jacob, Israel. And we focused on that. And finally, the book of Genesis concludes with the story of Joseph. And that's what we're looking at this evening. Wonderful story. I'm sure you're all familiar with the story of Joseph. I was driving with my coworker, Kurt. I said, we're going to be talking about Joseph tonight. Do you know the story of Joseph? He said, no, I don't think I do. And I kind of told him a 5-minute version of the whole story because it's a good story. It's really a classic. It's a wonderful story. A lot of the details I'm sure you're familiar with. But the way we're going to approach it this evening, you may know that Joseph is a type of Christ. There's certain facts about Joseph's life that parallels the life of Christ. And we read the first 5 verses, and you see that Joseph's brothers hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. Told him his dream, and they hated him even more. They hated Joseph. They also hated Jesus. And I want to look at this chapter, and I want to look at 4 reasons why Joseph's brothers hated him. And we're going to look at those same 4 reasons were true of why people hated Jesus. And then we're going to look at those 4 reasons as we go. And we're going to see how we naturally sway. Now, maybe this will be easier for you to take if I put it this way. Not toward hate, but maybe we naturally sway toward an antagonism toward Jesus for these same 4 reasons. There's something about our natural human nature that kind of doesn't want to get too close to Jesus. Some about Jesus that irks us, that rubs us the wrong way, that can frustrate us. And it was some of the same things about Joseph, some of the same things about Jesus when he walked the earth. And to deal with these, and this is the approach I want to take, the Bible tells us that we're commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Maybe we'd be wise to, as in any relationship, identify the points of conflict between us and the Lord. Recognize them. It's our fault, not His. But to recognize them and seek to come to some resolution, maybe, in these points, so that we wouldn't allow these areas to remain, these areas of frustration and antagonism between us and God. For we want to love Him. We want to know Him more, as the song says. But there's a hard part of knowing Jesus. Just like it was hard for Joseph's brothers to get along with Him. So that's how we're going to approach it. We're going to look at 4 reasons why they hated Him. Then we're going to look at 3 results of their hatred, and how they're true of Jesus, and how they relate to us. The first one we see, if you read again, verse 2. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. They hated him because he was a tattletale, some say. He told on him. But more than that, see, he went with them, and he found out that maybe what they were doing wasn't right. Maybe they weren't doing it the right way. Maybe they were doing something wrong. And he exposed it. He told the father. He exposed their sin, and they hated that. We don't want you to come and tell Dad that we're doing wrong stuff. And they hated him. Isn't that why they hated Jesus? Jesus would so simply and brilliantly articulate what people were doing wrong. He'd come into the temple and he'd speak to these Pharisees. These Pharisees that got respect, that people looked up to and say, hey, now that's right. And Jesus would prove to everyone, and it would be plain to see, that they were dead wrong. They were sinful. They were ugly. And they hated him because of it.
dare you expose my sin?
That's what Jesus did everywhere he went. And people didn't like it. And Joseph told the truth. He told on his brothers. He exposed their sin. Now, we look at ourselves and our relationship with God. The closer we get to him, the more we dive into the Word, and we pray to him, the more he exposes our sin. And it's uncomfortable. Conviction, it rubs us the wrong way. We see, man, I never knew I did all this stuff wrong. This looks so bad. And coming to terms with how ugly we are is very difficult. And we wanna withdraw. We want to rationalize. We don't want to face that. So we have this natural tendency to be antagonistic against Jesus and against God because he exposes us for who we are. He exposes our sin, just like Joseph. He tells on us. He shows us the truth of who we are. A couple scriptures I'll read to you. John 3, 18 and 19. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe him in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And listen to this. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So that's what Jesus did. He's the light of the world, and he exposes darkness. And there's this natural tendency. Men love darkness rather than light. It's a natural human thing. We like to believe we're good. We don't like to be proved. We don't like God to prove to us that we are evil by nature. We don't want to face that. But that's what Jesus does. He's the light of the world, and he exposes our evil, wicked heart. And we have this tendency to stay in darkness, to withdraw from the light. That's who Jesus is. There's a scripture in John that talks about the Holy Spirit's purpose and function in the world. Three things. Well, look at the first one. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Same thing Jesus did, same thing Joseph did. That's what he does. He reveals and makes it clear to us, I'm a sinner. And then we have that choice. Do we accept it? Do we withdraw? It's frustrating. It's difficult. Another thing interesting, you know, Joseph came with his brothers to feed the flocks. He kind of went to work with them. And that's when he discovered he exposed their sins. And it's kind of going to be the same way with us. Do we want to take Jesus along with us to work too? Home with us? You know, everywhere we go? Because he'll expose things in those areas. Sometimes we want to just have Jesus at church. That way we don't feel bad about how we work and how we live. Because there's darkness there. But Joseph went along with him to work one day. And they, I wish you never came with us, Joseph. They hated him for it. See, Jesus, and when you look at the person of Jesus, Jesus came to earth. He knows what it's like. We don't have the excuse of, God, you don't understand. You don't know how hard it is. Yes, he does. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, speaking of that, you know, we kind of, as Joseph went to work with his brothers, seeing how it looked, they could tell their father, oh, we didn't get much done, but you don't know how it is out there. This is as much as we could have done. And yet Joseph goes there, I know you could have done more. I know you've done wrong. The same is true with Jesus. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. This is hard, God. You know, I know what it's like. You're wrong, but I can help you. His purpose is not to condemn, but to convict and to assist. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. See, he went to work with us. He went to earth, and he knows what it's like. And he understands how your emotions and your desires and your heart works. And how when you make the choices you make, He understands that it truly is wrong. He understands it from an inside point of view. He's never been wrong. But he came up to that point of temptation where he can understand it. So the first thing we see of a reason why they hated Joseph is because he exposed their sin. Same reason why they hated Jesus, and same thing we have to deal with as we seek to draw close to Jesus and have a relationship with him. Second thing, continuing in the chapter, looking in verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. Now this coat was a long sleeve garment that covered down to his wrists and down to his waist, and brilliant and beautiful. And it was really a token that he was the heir. And none of the other brothers had one, but he did. And they hated him because of it. Now, I think this can describe to us, you know, they didn't hate Jesus because, you know, he walked around like God's favorite. But he did wear as a garment righteousness. Not only did he expose people's sin, but he gave a demonstration of righteousness. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and of righteousness. How do you get convicted of righteousness? See, Jesus came to earth and he started doing what's right. And everybody's seeing, wow, I didn't know that could be done that way. That's what Jesus does to us. We get to know him. That's what love is. I don't love. My version of love is wrong. See, he shows us what's right. He convicts us of righteousness. And Joseph walking around with his coat better than everyone else. Hey, I don't have one of those. Then Jesus walked around, always did what was right. He went on the mountain and his clothes became brilliant like no launderer could do. He displayed glory. He was perfect. He did what was right, and people seen it and it was different. See, we can come to the realization that we're sinners, but then we can kind of dismiss it, but everyone sins. It's okay because it's normal. But then Jesus comes along and shows us how it's supposed to be. It may not be a part of our nature. It may not be possible for us to attain by ourselves. But we have to admit, that's right and I'm wrong, if we want to get to know Jesus, the closer we get to him. Our wrong gets exposed and our definition of right gets changed as he displays righteousness for us. A couple scriptures to demonstrate this. Because Jesus displayed righteousness as an example. Turn to John chapter 13. You can read these with me. Just a few verses. John 13, beginning in verse 15. Skip around a little bit. He made it clear when he walked the earth that he was an example of righteousness, of what we should do. Verse 15, "For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have, that you should do as I have to you." So he made it clear that he was doing what was right, and that we were to do what is right in the same way, impossible without his help. Look at verse 34. This wasn't an anomaly, that was just one verse. He says in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you should also love one another." See, he kind of redefined things. When Jesus came to the earth, he said, "You have heard that it was said of old, you shall love your neighbor. You have heard that it was said of old that you shall not commit adultery, that you shall not hate, kill, you shall not murder your brother. But I want to show you something totally different. I want to show you something totally deeper." And then he went on to say that you should be perfect as I am perfect, as your Father is perfect. And he showed what perfect looked like. Look at chapter 15 of John, verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You should keep my commandments. I'll show you how, just like I do. Verse 12 of chapter 15. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's so easy for us to say, yeah, I love people, and use our own standard of love. And then we read 1 Corinthians 13. We don't love anyone like that with our own strength. A couple more verses. Chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them your word, Jesus speaking to the Father, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Just like him. Verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. The comparison. Now, this idea of him giving us an example of righteousness is frustrating. It kind of, like him convicting our sins, it rubs us the wrong way. You're going to come in here and show me an example of something that's impossible for me to obtain? You're going to show me this ideal of righteousness that is so beyond me that makes me feel terrible about myself? It's the reason why they hated Joseph. It was a big reason why they hated Jesus. And it's something that can be a problem in our relationship with God. If we don't identify it, okay, this is the way it's going to be. God's going to convict me of sin. He's going to show me a better way, and it's going to be a journey and a process. It's going to be hard, and just about every day of my life, I'm going to feel pretty bad about my old nature because it's ugly, and it's nothing like him. And the more I get to know him, the more ugly it becomes. Reasons why they hated Joseph. Turn back to chapter 37. He exposes our sin. He demonstrates righteousness, true righteousness. Reason number three, beginning in verse 5 of chapter 37. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and told it to his brothers, and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him, and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now we know that this type doesn't fit for everything. God never rebuked Jesus. But there's definitely some similarities. And I was reading some commentaries. Some say that Joseph shouldn't have told his dream. Obviously, they're going to hate him for it. And, you know, obviously, they're not going to like this. But, you know, I'm glad Joseph told the dream, because it's a very important part of the story. And God was glorified more in the end because he told the dream then. See, Joseph had that thing, he'd tell the truth. He probably did know his brothers wouldn't like it. But it really was the dream. And he knew it was important. And he knew probably it was important to be told, and to be told then. But this idea we see of the reason why they hated him, because in his dream he was painting this picture of something that would happen in the future where he would reign and everyone would bow to him. Interesting. Because the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Did they hate him for that? Oh, you better believe it. Remember when he was on trial and the high priest was accusing him? And he said, Jesus, to the high priest, you will see the Son of Man at the right hand of the Father. You're going to see me enthroned with authority before God. You're going to stand before me. He told the high priest, the so-called religious leader. And oh, he hated him. Blasphemy. Let him be crucified. We don't need to hear anything else. But it's a similar thing with us. Because the Bible teaches us that everything we do, our actions, our works, our plans will fall apart and, in a sense, bow to God's plans and God's agenda. Everything we put together, our lives, our future, everything will submit to God. And that reality rubs us the wrong way. We've got some plans we would like to do. We've got our agenda. We've got our plans. And that's hard to embrace, to lay down everything at the foot of Jesus. To lose our life. That's what Jesus calls us to do. And you can't get to know Jesus good and skip that part. Because He's God. And He has He's accustomed to telling you about it. You're going to have to lay everything down. You have to give it all up. And it's difficult to get used to that. You want to hang out with me? Jesus says, if anyone desires to follow me, he must deny himself daily, take up his cross, and follow me. It's difficult. It could stir up antagonism. They hated Joseph for it. They hated Jesus for it. And I think these things, as we recognize, must be dealt with. Because this antagonism against God's authority, really the ultimate expression of that kind of irking feeling that turns into kind of a resentment that can turn into hatred, that can withdraw us, the ultimate expression of that is the rejection of the Holy Spirit. The very thing that sends someone to hell. The only thing that sends someone to hell. See, it's vital that we recognize and resolve these emotions. You want to get to know God? It's glorious. He loves you. It's a good relationship. But it's gonna be a certain way. His way. He's going to expose your sin. That's the way it is. You can't skip that. He's going to show you what's right, and it's going to be hard to swallow. That's the way it is. And you're going to have to always, on a regular basis, lay down your plans, your will, and bow before Him in submission. That's the way it is. It's going to be great. It's going to be good. It's going to be fulfilling and satisfying. But it's going to be difficult, and you've got to come to terms with those things. Or else, you choose to hate and resent and back off, and you go down that road to hell, apart from God. Because that's where it leads. And the road to heaven, to God, and a relationship with Him is no different than this, and never will be. God's never going to change who He is for you. So the reasons why they hated Joseph, reasons why they hated Jesus, reasons why we should, that we can resent Him and stray from Him, sway from Him, we should resolve, come to terms with. One more reason I see here. And I like this reason. Continuing on in our story, if you pick up in verse 12. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, Joseph said to his father, here I am. Then he sent him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out to the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here. For I have heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. City of Dothan, I read, has been excavated some 12 miles north of Samaria. Joseph went a long ways. His brothers went out to Shechem, and he walked all that way, a long ways from Hebron. Didn't find them there, and he walked a long ways further to Dothan. And he found them in Dothan. And I see here, and as they seen him coming, let's read a couple more verses. Verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we will We shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. They seen him walking, and they hated him even more. Look, here comes a dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's throw him into some pit. Let's cover it up. Now, I see here maybe another reason why they hated him is because of his... He found them. He hunted them down. He pursued them. He went the extra mile. He didn't give up. And he pursued them and found them. And I think you could find this exemplified in Jesus' life. Where did Jesus go every time he went to Jerusalem? To the temple. And the Pharisees, he'd have the confrontation, they'd hate him, and he'd leave and he'd show up a few months later and he'd come to the temple. Hi guys, it's me again. And he'd come back and he'd come back. When they killed Jesus, they didn't go down to Galilee and find him. He went to their city and he kept coming to their city. And you know, the same is true about Jesus in our lives. He's relentless. The Bible says that he comes to seek and to save that which is lost. He doesn't stop seeking. And this idea of pursuing, hunting, and seeking is really confronting. He kind of confronts us and forces us to decide and make a decision. See, we just want to cast him off in some pit and deal with it later. I don't want you to come around and make me feel bad. Let's just put you off for a while. And yet, the operation of the Holy Spirit in the world today continues to confront the world with the reality of who he is. You have to make a decision. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. And there it is again, right in your face. You have this seeking of God, this confrontation. He never allows us to avoid him completely. He wants to bring resolution. He seeks, he confronts, he hunts us down. He demands a response. And they hated Joseph because of that. You're going to walk all this way to come and get us just because your father sent you? You're going to go all this way and come and get us. And they wanted to kill him. They wanted to put him in a pit. They wanted to just keep him somewhere where they didn't have to deal with it anymore. They didn't have to face it. And that's something we have to come to terms with too if we want to get to know Jesus. We have a bad day. We have a doubt. We get hurt. Something happens. We fall into a sin. And we don't want to deal with it. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't know what to say. We don't want to face it just yet. Well, you have to face it. And he's going to bring it to your attention. And he's going to bring it right to your doorstep. He's going to chase you down and hunt you. He chastens the ones he loves. You have to get used to that. You have to learn to respond and respond quickly. That's the way Jesus is. It can be frustrating if you resist it. See, all of these things are only turn to hatred when we resist. See, he convicts us of our sin and it hurts, but if we don't resist, he'll forgive us of our sin. He'll show us what's right and he'll make us feel bad, but if we don't resist, he'll help us live righteously by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we just gotta not resist. And again, the total expression of putting him off, just putting him in some pit, putting him aside, and not making the choice. The people that put him off all their lives go to hell. Sad reality. Expression of this rebellion, this hatred, this natural human antagonism against what is holy, what is good, what is light. Four reasons why they hated Joseph. They hated Jesus. Four things for us to resolve in our relationship with God. I'm trying to see if I have enough time to... I think we'll wait on the three results because this kind of went a long time. But again, you know, the Bible calls us, commands us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. You know, I trust that all of you here, all of us here, have made a choice to accept Jesus into our lives. We believe him. We didn't reject him. And yet we still have an old nature. And our old nature does not like to be convicted of its sin. Our old nature does not like to be faced with pure righteousness when it looks the exact opposite of who we are and what we're doing. Our old nature does not like to be faced with the reality that there will be a reckoning, that every knee will bow to him, that his way will rule. The Bible reminds us of this constantly. It says that we will give an account for every idle word. It constantly points to the day where we're going to stand before him as our judge, as our king. Kneel before him. You're right. I was wrong with everything. And he reminds us of that to prepare us for that. And our old nature does not like that. Our old nature doesn't like for him to get up in our business and constantly pursue us and chasten us. But our new nature likes it. We've grown to love it. Because it's truly all that is good. It's truly love. That's what it is. It's love. It doesn't feel like that in our old nature, but in our new nature, we can appreciate it. We can accept it. The very same things can be a good thing. The idea that he relentlessly pursues us, many people, the authors in Scripture, have grown to appreciate that. David said, "Where can I go from your presence? You're everywhere. I can't run from you." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? Paul said in Romans chapter 8, "What can separate us from the love of Christ?" He knew it was love. Shall tribulation or peril or distress or sword or nakedness or death? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Isn't that great? Isn't that a good thing? That he's always there? It's not a good thing for our old nature, but it's a good thing for our new nature. So my prayer is that we would recognize these things. They're very normal and natural, but they need to be done away with. These points of contention. We need to accept his way of doing things and embrace our relationship with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you and we feel the conviction, the cutting of your word. We cry out for grace and mercy. We invite you into our life and all that entails. Lord, help us. Forgive us. Help us with our sin. Forgive us and cleanse us. Help us to face it and not put it off or lie to ourselves. Help us to step into the light, walk in the light, accept your light shining in our lives. Help us face what is right, your righteousness and holiness, and strive after it by your help, by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, submit to your way, your will, and lay down ours. Help us to invite your chastening. Help us to respond to you quickly. Help us never to try to avoid you. Lord, we want to see you, know you more. We want to love you. We see that Joseph's brothers couldn't even talk to him favorably. Lord, we want to learn to pray. We want to learn to talk to you and develop how we should talk to you. We want to get to know you. Help us, Lord. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.